Our first reading this morning is Psalm chapter 26, verses 1 through 8. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Prove me, O Lord, and try me. Test my heart and mind. For your steadfast love is before my eyes, and I walk in faithfulness to you. I do not sit with the worthless, nor do I consort with hypocrites. I hate the company of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked. I wash my hands in innocence and go around your altar, O Lord, singing aloud the song of thanksgiving and telling of all your wondrous deeds. O Lord, I love the house in which you dwell and the place where your glory abides. And our second reading this morning is Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints, extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Let us pray. Lord, our God, our light, may your name and your word be exalted above everything. While we listening for your word, we are looking for your light. By the power of the Holy Spirit, renew our minds and hearts so we may discern your will and respond in faith. We pray in your name of your Son, our Savior. Amen. Well, last week I was able to speak to you about our grace-given gifts of prophecy, ministry, teacher, encourager, leader, and the compassionate, and how we are born with some of these gifts, but those that are our strengths are the ones that develop in us. I also asked you to think about why you are here and are you engaged? But the most important question was, are you conforming or transforming in this world? And if you went, both in your head, then you're exactly where you need to be this morning. Because this path is a winding road with lots of twists and turns and ups and downs. Some days we may be able to say, yeah, I got this, Lord, I'm being transformed. But other days we may not be at our best and can say, I know I can do better tomorrow. And is this not exactly what God wants for us? Sober judgment? To be able to see into ourselves and find where we can be and do better? By seeing where we can do better, this changes our behavior, our way of thinking, and our hearts. It is these changes that transform us and how we relate to each other and the world around us. Jesus could not stress enough the importance of community and how we relate to one another. Many of the parables were about how we relate to one another, treat one another, love one another, and how we grow in faith. Paul, as an apostle, then takes these teachings and builds Christ-following communities. And in the reading from Romans today, Paul is building on what it means to be a living sacrifice in spiritual worship. For Paul, that is right worship. But it is not passive worship. It is intellectually reflective, renewing your mind, and practically active, using our grace-given gifts to love and serve God and one another. As we discern these as individuals and as a community, we are to think about the ways good and evil are working in our lives. Are you conforming or transforming? So here in Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 10, we are told, let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with mutual affection, outdo one another in showing honor. In what quickly becomes a rapid-fire list of things we should do, I cannot help but think of the Ten Commandments, especially the thou shalt nots. But for Paul, these are the you shall commands that came from Jesus' teachings. You shall let love be genuine. Paul begins with saying that our love needs to be real. None of this I love you to your face, but not so much behind your back. And this real love is to be like the love we give God and God gives us. If you were to look up the word love in Greek, you would find seven different words for love. How different this is from the English language. In English, we love lots, but how do we know to what degree? When we say we love people, possessions, pets, what tells us how this love is measured for each? But in Greek, there is no guessing. The word used in verse 9, most of you have heard of, I'm sure, it is agape. And it is the word used most to describe the unconditional love of God in the New Testament. Now, there are three other Greek words used in the New Testament for love. Eros, which is romantic love. Storge is familial love, like parent and child, or vice versa. And Philadelphia describes the love of friendship or brotherly love. It is why Philadelphia is known as the city of brotherly love. But agape, the Greek word for love used most often in the New Testament, 117 times often. It is also the love that is to be patient, kind, does not envy, boast, or is not proud, in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 8. And even though this passage is most often read at weddings, Paul was telling the Christians of Corinth how to love each other as a faith community. We also hear in John 13, verse 34, Jesus instructs us, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. But here in Romans, we are told to love in three different ways, to agape, to philostrogos, and to Philadelphia. So there is no question that we are to love one another. We are to love each other as God has loved us. We are to love each other as family. And we are to love each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Wow. I don't know about you, but that's a whole lot of love in our community. But just like being a living sacrifice in spiritual worship, our love is not to be passive. We are to have genuine love, but hate what is evil and hold fast to what is good. We are to love one another with mutual affection and outdo one another in showing honor, meaning the way we respect each other. All these commands tell us how we are to relate to one another through love in the world. Verse 12 continues to show us how to love by rejoicing in hope, being patient in suffering, and persevere in prayer. This is telling us to be grateful in life and pray about everything. We are reminded of this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So we are also to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who are weeping. But how often can we fail to show each other love, to let someone know that they are loved by God and by each other? I was reminded of this recently during a conversation in the kitchen at my job. So bear with me here for a second, because the conversation went something like this. Hey, how you doing? I can't complain. I hate to tell you that even if you did, no one would listen. Oh, that's not true. Who's going to listen? My friends. I have friends that listen to my complaints. Well, that's good. I don't. I'm sorry you don't, but a therapist will also listen. Haha, you got me there. I do pay a therapist once a week to listen to me complain. As I was walking back to my desk, I thought about this exchange and added to my list that clergy and others in ministry will also listen. And then I thought, how often do we also feel like this coworker, that there is no one to listen when we have a complaint or an issue we are struggling with, that feeling like we are all alone in this world? What does that say about our sense of community? Now, I don't know if this coworker has a faith community or a faith association of any kind, but how many others in the world feel just like he did? How powerful can it be for our ability to love one another in active ways, to be able to change a person's view of the world in joy, in sorrow, and in suffering? And if we cannot love each other in active ways, how does that affect us as a community? Paul tells us in verse 13 that we are to contribute to the needs of the saints, extend hospitality to strangers. How do we do this if we are not loving each other in active ways? How do we support one another in the inner community? The ability to genuinely love one another in active ways that are true, real, and supportive will not only spread joy within us, within our inner community, but also into the greater community. This will make us extend hospitality to strangers and allow people coming into our community to be invited and welcomed by seeing how we are all connected through love. Jesus tells us in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, "You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. People do not light a lamp and put it under a bushel basket. Rather, they put it on the lampstand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." Genuine agape love is the light. And when you experience the loving light in your heart, it brings you peace and joy that radiates from you out into the world around you. I know that when I feel this in my heart, I can actually feel it radiating out of me. Maybe it is the smile on my face, or the light in my eyes, or the way I breathe. Now, I know it can be a challenge to feel this every day, with the winding road of life, but it is something to be mindful of and to be fully present in when you feel it. And my hope is that while you are feeling this love and light, that you are sharing it in the world so that others who may not know the love of Christ will, by the way you actively love in the world. Now I leave you with two things. The first is our reflection quote today from Henry Nouwen. Compassion asks us to go where it hurts, to enter into the places of pain, to share in brokenness, fear, confusion, and anguish. Compassion challenges us to cry out with those in misery, to mourn with those who are lonely, to weep with those in tears. Compassion requires us to be weak with the weak, vulnerable with the vulnerable, and powerless with the powerless. Compassion means full immersion into the condition of being human. Immerse yourselves in the condition of being human as we actively love God, our faith community, our outer community, and ourselves. This will bring deep connection and joy to all. And the second is that we all live in real love for one another, so that we may be the beacons of hope and light to those around us. For without active, genuine love, we fail to live as God's light in the world. Amen.